In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is both our Old Testament reading from Isaiah, the 40th chapter, and our Gospel reading from Mark, the 1st chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you think John knew what he was doing? Do you think it was calculated and planned? Did he study methods and take courses in successful leadership while he was off in the wilderness? Did he hone his skills of vision casting or learn to write mission statements? Did he study techniques, and was everything said and done with an end goal in mind? What do you think about John's 5-year plans? Do you think he had them? Do you think he had the plan of where he might be in 10 years? With his head on a platter? Would his word be successful? Would he have his own following with temples and cell groups and entrepreneurial disciples? Honestly, I don't think John gave a single thought to any of it. He had no plan and no guiding mission statement. He didn't envision anything for himself or for any so-called followers. He just did as the Lord gave him to do. And he spoke as the Lord gave word to his voice. We have much to learn from John the Baptist. We won't allow for such a preacher today. We won't have a church without a plan, without a program, without a vision, without a direction. We demand growth and a way to count that growth in numbers. We want to make sure our money will have a return, and that our time will not be wasted. Our problem is both a head problem and a heart problem. Our heads are so rational, so critical, so careful, that our good works rarely see the light of day. Or our heads are so confused that they don't know what they should have done in the first place. On the other hand, our hearts are cold when it comes to our neighbor, and we are slow to forgive and quick to judge, slow to find out the facts and quick to gossip, slow to admit that we are wrong and quick to justify our actions. We are stubborn, stiff-necked, self-righteous, prideful, and arrogant sinners. John appeared among a people just like us. Jerusalem was full of those, suffering from both head problems as well as heart problems. John appeared, the text says, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Just what is this baptism? Jerusalem and Judea hadn't heard anything like this before. John took up his spot along the Jordan, preaching repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Justification. That is what Advent is all about. That is what baptism is all about. That is what the church is all about. It's not about numbers. It's not about success. It's not a business. It's not about mission statements. It's not about vision casting. It's not about a quantifiable growth in numbers. It's about solving the heart and the head problems we all have. But it's not John the Baptist who is the focus of any of this. Behold, Isaiah writes, I will send my messenger before your face who will prepare the way. Bold as he is, eating locusts and wild honey in the garb of a prophet, John is just the forerunner. Baptism, as it comes from his hand, prepares for the baptism that comes from the hand of Christ. But he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, John says. This all is quite a sight for those who went out to the wilderness. They were baptized, Mark tells us, confessing their sins in the Jordan. The word of repentance had done its work. They were struck to the heart. Their minds were held captive. This is what they needed to hear. This is God's answer to their pain. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Cry to her that her warfare is ended and that her iniquity is pardoned. Christians, this is for you too. Christ is the coming one, whose sandals St. John was not worthy to stoop down and untie. Cry, says the voice, and what shall I cry? Comfort. But what comfort is there if we are left in our sin? By what means will our heart be settled and our mind stop racing? By the word of the baptizer, by the water that delivers forgiveness. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with them, and his recompense before him. Jesus is the coming one, just as John proclaimed, he who is mightier than I. So also do we as a church preach Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins and the life of the world. John baptized with water. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John pointed toward this redemption, calling sinners to faith in Christ. Jesus delivers this redemption, offering up his own body and blood on the cross for our justification, praying for those who persecute him, and dying that we might live. This sort of preaching requires no mission or vision statements. There is no need for growth statistics or developing methods and techniques. The Holy Spirit doesn't bow to our planning and our purposes, but blesses us by the word wherever and whenever it is preached in all its purity. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that's how St. Mark begins his gospel. And that's where we, as a church, gather. We gather around the Lord and his gifts, given for us and for our salvation. All the country of Judea and Jerusalem were going out to him to be baptized. Advent calls us also, away from our callous hearts, away from our confused minds, away from our worldly fears and cares, and toward the gospel. Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins and for the life of the world. Stir up our hearts, we pray, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son. Such is the work of the Spirit through the Word, so that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Sin that affects both heart and mind must be revealed and removed, so that with both heart and mind we might love and serve as we have been loved and served by Jesus Christ, and as we have been called to do. In Jesus' name, Amen.